quick for you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. In connection with this text, I was thinking of the 46th Psalm, the first verse, as God is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in trouble. This text speaks of being in Christ. Christ becomes our fortress, our citadel, our refuge, our strength. It is all in Christ. Now, to be in Christ is a special privilege of children of God. And there is no one in Christ but children of God. And this defines children of God here, the ones that are in Christ, as being new creatures. They're God's new creation. They're made over beings. An experience of salvation that leaves you living like you used to live, doing like you used to do, it ain't worth anything. You could do that good without that kind of salvation. We could live like we used to live and behave ourselves like our grandfather and our father. That's the common excuse of people for their behavior and their dispositions and their natures. My daddy was that way and my granddaddy was that way and I'm that way. I've been that way all my life. Well, my message to you tonight is that when you obtain salvation, it's time for you to quit being like you've always been. And quit being like Daddy and Granddaddy were. And having the same nature and the same disposition. Now we believe and preach and teach that a full and free and uttermost salvation, saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, purifies the heart and purges out that old depravity of nature that we all got from Adam. Now we believe that. That's the doctrine that we base our faith upon and that we live by. Well, if that's so, then why would it be thought unreasonable that God, through a full and free and uttermost salvation, saved and sanctified, could not rid us of the natural traits and dispositions and nature that we got from our immediate forebears, our fathers and our mothers? I say that he can, I say that he does, that he'll straighten folks out. And that he'll make folks live for his glory regardless of what they were in times gone by. That doesn't count anymore. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's made over now. He's different than what he was. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. He's got a new life now. He's got a new outlook. He thinks differently. He acts differently. And he is different from what he was before he was saved and entered into Christ. Amen. Says all things are of God. This weak, watered down, anemic kind of Christian profession that the world's plagued with now, it leaves people just about the same after they obtain that kind of religion as they were before. They're just professors now. That's about the only difference. They profess Christ now and they didn't before. Yes. That reminds me, Clifford, of a man that used to live down here at Grants Pass, and he came up here to camp meeting one year. He and I were walking off from the chapel down there, going uptown, and he said, feel like lots of times that up to here, I'm just full up. But from here up, I don't have anything. I thought, well, sir, you've got that backwards. You're full up in your head. That fella had lots of ideas. You're full up in your head, but from your head down, you don't have anything. He was void of grace. He just had the thing backward in his outlook. There are many people like him. He just represented a whole flock of folks. Many of them. But God's Word tells things like they are. It doesn't say, well, it'd be nice now if you're in Christ, if you'd be a new creature. That'd be real nice. It'd work out pretty good if you'd just take on a new life now and let the old life go off. That'd work out pretty good. No, he didn't say that. He just said that's the way it was. It just works out that way. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Let me tell you, folks, that saints are living their lives according to God's directions and instructions. Being led by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. And any time you and I overlook the spiritual element involved, we've missed the whole thing. Just passed right on over the whole thing. Yes. This is a spiritual life, and the body of Christ is a spiritual body, and the Church of God is a spiritual institution, and the truth that we know has been revealed to us by the Spirit, and the grace that we have has been wrought in us by the Spirit of God, and it's just all in the Spirit. All things are of God, who has also reconciled us unto Himself by Christ Jesus. Now, it's a special privilege of the children of God to get in this little enclosure here. Being in Christ is a special niche that the people of God get into, and where they enjoy the special blessings and privileges of the kingdom of God, and where they enjoy the special defense and protection from the enemy of our souls and from this world. It's a special privilege to be in Christ. I'm glad to be in Him. I'm glad for you to be in Him. I'm glad for everyone that I find in Christ. Now, in the days of the Apostle Paul, when he was living and working and teaching and preaching, the issue was circumcision. And Paul's greatest problem was with the Judaizers who followed him up everywhere he went and tried to persuade his converts that they had to be circumcised and keep the law in order to be saved. Now, Paul wasn't teaching that. He didn't believe that kind of doctrine. He believed in salvation through faith in Christ, on the merits of Christ. And he was teaching the people, and they were being saved on that basis. And here come these Judaizers saying, you've got to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, or you can't be saved. In the 6th chapter of Galatians, in verse 15, Paul says, for in Christ Jesus, here it is again. I'm talking to you tonight about the heritage of people in Christ Jesus. What it means to be in Christ Jesus, what we have in Him. He said, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. That issue is out when it comes to having a relationship with Christ Jesus. Neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. That's the only thing that amounts to anything. Everything else is a sham and a humbug outside of that. And it's just what God wrought in our heart that's worth anything. I remember that David, he was rejoicing over the generous offerings that the children of Israel were bringing or had brought for the tabernacle, or for the temple that was to be built. God had told David that he couldn't build it, but his son would build it. But he did permit David to gather together the material to build it. And he had vast stores of the offerings that the children of Israel had brought to build that temple. In his prayer of thanksgiving to God, he says, God, we have only given you that which was your own. Now that's important. You see, they gave God that which was His own, and that's all we can give God today. Just what God has given us. What God has done in us. Nothing is acceptable to God, only what He did. What He worked in us. Anything that we can work up, that's not acceptable to God. Any righteousness that we can do, He said that's all as filthy rags in His sight. And even good things that people do within themselves, from human and ulterior motives that they might have, that isn't acceptable to God, even though it's a good thing. But just what God has given us, what He has wrought in us, it's that we can return to Him. Consequently, the only sacrifices that God will accept are spiritual sacrifices. Offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Christ Jesus. If God never wrought it in us, Paul said in one place, I would not dare to speak of any of those things that Christ has not wrought in me. Now, Paul had many things that he might boast of, and he reiterated some of them in the 3rd chapter of Philippians and said, if anybody else thinks he has anything to boast of in the flesh, I more. But in the final analysis, he said, I would not dare to speak of anything that Christ had not wrought in me. If Christ never did it, I wouldn't dare to mention it. Now, it's not circumcision, uncircumcision, rituals, doings, or not doings, but it's a new creature, made over new. Those are the people that are in Christ Jesus, and everybody in there is brand new. New creatures. I don't care if you've been in Christ 50 years, you're still brand new. He said, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And when God saves you and me, He makes us brand new. And then it's our job to keep that new man new. Keep him refreshed, polished up. Everything in order. The image of Christ in the soul dusted off and showing brightly. He said the child shall die being 100 years old. And that sounded like something to me. I don't know what I could say that sounded like to me, but I didn't get very much sense out of that. The child died being 100 years old till the Lord revealed to me from His Word this very thing I'm talking about now. That Scripture came right in that very line, that very connection. The child shall die being 100 years old. In other words, it's our job to keep that new man new. Never let him get old. Keep him polished up and dusted off and the image of Christ shining out through that new man. And if we live 100 years after we obtain salvation, we'll still just be a new man. We'll just be as a child before Him. What do you say?
That's the way the Lord would have it.
Yeah. So that's our job now, to just keep the new man new. Never let him get old. In the 5th chapter of Galatians in verse 6, he says again, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith that worketh by love. That's the only thing that's important in our relationship with God and in our lives is faith that works by love. And faith is prompted by love. When you love God, it produces a faith in Him. And people who love God are able to trust God because they love Him and they trust in His love. And they feel themselves secure in the love of God. So, it's faith that works by love. The Apostle Paul, in the 3rd chapter of Philippians, in verse 9, he says, and be found in Him. There it is again. A lot of scripture in the New Testament about in Christ and the situation of people in Christ. And the privileges they have in Christ. Paul says, be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Now the righteousness of the law, it is a pretty strict standard. They held a pretty high standard of moral living under the law. Paul said concerning the righteousness which was in the law, he was blameless. Now that's a pretty high standard of life, I'd say. But Moses in the 10th chapter of Romans, and about verse 4 maybe, 4 or 5, he says, Moses describeth the righteousness that is in the law, that they who do these things shall live by them. You see, it was just a righteousness of doing. But now in Christ Jesus, doing right things don't make you right. And it doesn't save you to do right things. But he said, I want to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, just doing right things. That's what he's talking about. And subscribing to the rituals and creeds and performances of the law, keeping up to date with that. He was blameless in that. Yet he needed salvation. God got salvation to him and made him a new creature and turned him right square around and directed his interests and energies and all in another direction, just the opposite direction to what he was going. And I might say that when you get a good case of salvation, it'll just turn you right square around and make you go just exactly the opposite way to what you were going. Amen. And set you to doing differently. But the righteousness which is of God by faith in Christ, be found in him. This same apostle said in the 5th chapter of 1st or 2nd Corinthians, in the last verse, he said, he has made him to be unto us righteousness. And our righteousness is in him. And he said, that's the kind of righteousness I want to be found with, the righteousness which is through the faith of Christ. Faith of Christ. When we put our faith in Christ as our Savior and in the merits of his shed blood and that only for our salvation, then God counts us righteous for Christ's sake. And in Christ, he looks upon everybody in Christ as righteous because of their forsaking of sin and acceptance of Christ into their hearts and lives and abiding in him. And he looks at all of us, you and me, and everybody else that's saved, he looks at us through Christ Jesus. And he has made Christ to be our righteousness, and we accept Christ as our righteousness, and as the only righteousness that we have. In the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, in the 17th verse, he says, for he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now, when you and I become joined to the Lord, we get into Christ Jesus, we take on his Spirit, we're just one Spirit with him, joined up with him in the Spirit. If any man be in, or he that is joined to the Lord, anyone that's joined to the Lord is one Spirit with the Lord. In Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, in verse 13, he said, but now in Christ Jesus. This is all in him. Folks, outside of him, there would be no salvation. And we have to look to him for our salvation all the way through. We cannot make ourselves good enough to be saved. And anything that we do, be it good, be it thankworthy, be it whatever, it'll not save us. But it's in Christ Jesus that our salvation consists and our faith in him. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, who's he talking about here? He's talking about Gentiles. The Gentiles have access to God through Jesus Christ, just like the Jew. After the coming of Jesus Christ, everything was set on a different basis. The Jew had special privileges until the coming of Jesus Christ. After the coming of Jesus Christ and Him tasting death for every man and God placing on Him the iniquities of us all, the Jews have no special favors now, neither do the Gentiles, but we're all made nigh by Jesus Christ, in Him, by the blood of Christ. Christ made it possible for every person in the whole world to draw nigh unto God. Now, when you're in Christ, you're in contact with God. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Jesus referred to His relationship with His Father. He said, I in thee and thou in me, that there may be one in us. God's still in Christ. We meet God in Christ. When we come to Christ and accept Him as our Savior and enter into Jesus Christ, God's still in Christ. We meet God there and are reconciled unto Him. Made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's great, isn't it? In Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verse 28, he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now we could observe at just a glance here that he's not speaking literally in this text. A Jew that gets into Christ Jesus, he's still a Jew. He's just a Christian Jew. He's a saved Jew. And a Greek or a Gentile that gets into Christ Jesus, it didn't make him a Jew. It just made him a saved Gentile. And a man that gets into Christ Jesus, he's just a saved man. A woman that gets into Christ Jesus, she's just a saved woman. And there isn't any crossing over of the sexes here involved like the world is getting all caught up in and involved in. That isn't the idea. But in the Spirit, they're all one in Christ Jesus. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. They're all one in Christ Jesus. That's great. In the 17th chapter of John, verse 21, Jesus prayed. He said that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. Now, folks, that's just the way it is. Jesus tells things just like it is. He didn't say it'd be nice if they'd all be one and be agreed and everything when they got in us, but He said they are one, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. Now, Jesus said in the 10th chapter of John, verse 16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. He's speaking of the Gentiles there. He came to His own, that is the Jews. You know the rest of that story. His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, there were some among His own people that did receive Him. To them gave He the power to become the sons of God, But now he's got some other children. He said, I've got some other sheep that are not of this fold, this Jewish fold, Israelitish fold, not of this fold, but I'm going to bring them in now, the Gentiles. They're going to flow in. The prophecies are just full of sparkling gems all through the prophecies of the influx of the Gentiles into the church. And how they will come, and how they will enrich the church, and how they'll bring their treasures. And I'll tell you, the Gentiles have had many good and precious things to contribute to the body of Christ, to the church of the living God. He says they'll bring their treasures and lay them down at your feet. The Gentiles, the influx of the Gentiles into the church. And so Jesus is introducing that idea now to his disciples. I've got other sheep that are not of this fold. Them I shall bring also, that there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now in Ephesians, the second chapter in verse 15, he said, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself, there that is again, in Christ, that's the only place this is done, people, in Christ, to make in himself one new man, so making peace. Now we have the solution to one of the world's major problems right here. And that's the racial problem. Racial differences. And the solution of it is right here, to get into Christ. And he said that he broke down the middle wall of partition, and it's broken down between all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, that, excuse me, that through him they might all have access into the one body of Christ, the one new man. The body of Christ incorporates and envelops every saved individual from the river to the ends of the earth, regardless of what nation he is, or what color, or what race, or what, whatever. When they get in Christ Jesus, they make up one new man, they make up the body of Jesus Christ. John, in the 7th chapter of Revelation, verse 9, he saw the redeemed company as a great multitude which no man could number, of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And they stood before the Lamb and before his throne, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. Palms of victory, white robes, wedding garments, righteousness of saints. They were well clothed. Now, I dare say that there's never been anyone in history that had the hatred and contempt for another people that the Jew had for the Gentile. Maybe the nearest runner-up to it would be what we had in World War Number 2, the bitterness and contempt that the Germans held toward the Jews. And they set out to eliminate the Jews. And we've had a little mild semblance of it in the prejudice that exists between the blacks and the whites. But now what I'm saying is that if Jesus Christ could bring the Gentiles into a Jewish body of people, which wasn't really Jewish anymore. They had to come in just like the Gentiles did through faith in Christ. That was the only door that was open now. The door of justification through the rituals and creeds of the law was not open anymore. It is closed forever. Salvation is just in Christ now for Jews and Gentiles and everybody. And if he could bring them together and break down the middle wall of partition between them and make them love one another and blend together in the Spirit, in the body of Christ, I've got a sneaking idea going in the back of my head that he can resolve all of this racial prejudice and differences that exist between black and white and red and yellow and brown and all the rest of them in between, and make them one in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now what I'm saying has nothing at all to do with marriage bonds. I don't believe in that. I believe the Scripture is contrary to that, and that's not God's plan for the people, but that in the Spirit, everything that is taught in the Scriptures in regard to unity and oneness is in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And now in regard to marriage, he says that the man and his wife made one flesh, but he didn't say they were made one spirit. But everything that he teaches regarding the fellowship and the unity of believers in Christ is in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And just as I mentioned a while ago, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither male nor female. Well, we know that that couldn't be interpreted literally. Females that get salvation, they're saved females. It didn't change them. Males that get salvation, they're saved males. It didn't change them. They're still male and female, and they're still Jew and Greek in the church of God, in the body of Christ. But in the Spirit, they're all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. And he broke down the middle wall of partition between them and made of the twain one new man, so making peace. In the 8th chapter of Romans, in the 1st verse, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now that's the way people that are in Christ Jesus live. They're not living according to the lusts of the flesh and according to the ways of the natural man and the forms of this world and their fashions and all, but they're living in the Spirit. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now that's a great thing, to be free from condemnation. He said in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, in about verse 14 or 15, he said, 14 maybe, he says, how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And folks, we're not free from condemnation till our conscience is purged. As long as there's any crowding on your conscience, you're not free from condemnation. But when we come to Jesus Christ and through the blood of Jesus Christ, and our faith in the merits of that shed blood, our consciences are purged from dead works to serve the living God. That removes all the condemnation out of us. And let me tell you, folks, a good conscience is a good traveling companion. It's a good bedfellow. It's just a good thing to have. It's just a good conscience. And that's the privilege of people in Christ Jesus. who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And everybody in Christ Jesus walks that way. They live that way. He said, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts thereof. Everything that belongs to the old flesh life, the old worldly way of life, self-life, everything is crucified, it's put away, all things are become new, and all things are of God now, being in Christ Jesus. The 13th chapter of Romans and verse 14, he says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Don't even make any arrangements or make it convenient or hang around, even though it may be inconvenient. Just hang around to let the lusts of the flesh allure you. Just put on the Lord Jesus Christ and live in the Spirit and walk not after the lusts of the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. Everybody in Christ Jesus is living that way. He doesn't accept anything any different. In Galatians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 27, he says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, that doesn't mean water baptism either. And a lot of people baptized in water that never did know Christ at all. And that aren't in Christ, they aren't living in Christ, they aren't walking in Christ, they're living the old flesh life. You know, I've been struck with the kind of religion that's being pawned off on us these days, these big campaigners and revivalists and so on. They go out and get hundreds of people in one meeting saved, so many decisions for Christ, and among them will be movie stars, actresses. They go right on being actresses and living right in that same atmosphere and going right on, but they're professing Christ now. Just a watered down, anemic kind of a so-called Christian religion pawned off on the people. I say that a full and free and uttermost salvation, a really being baptized or inducted into Christ, would do away with that kind of life, get people out of that kind of surroundings and that kind of influences, and make them humble in their hearts and minds to go with the people of God. Now that's the kind of thing we're getting though today. And been a lot of movie stars converted according to the evangelists and so on, and they just go right on movie starring and living like they've been living before. In the 3rd chapter of Colossians in verse 10, we're talking about putting on Christ now, being in Him. He said, you put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Now you see, salvation is a restorative move. And the objective of it is to restore fallen mankind back to what he fell from. Right back to the Edenic state. Right back in the image of God. In God's likeness. And he said, in salvation, we put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. In Ephesians 4 and 24, identifies that image. It says that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now that's just like Adam was created. Right back to the Edenic state of righteousness and true holiness, the pure image of God. And salvation, the ultimate objective of it, is to return you and me and restore us to a complete relationship with God through Christ, just like Adam and Eve had with Him in the beginning before they fell, before sin entered the world. And where we can walk and talk with Him, and He said, they'll be my people, I'll be their God, I'll dwell in them, I'll walk in them, I'll talk in them. And that's the relationship that Adam and Eve had with Him before sin got in the world. And sin has robbed you and me of that. Until we obtained salvation. But when we obtained salvation, it restored us to the image and likeness of God, which is righteousness and true holiness, when we put on the new man, when we get into Christ Jesus. The 12th chapter of Revelation in the first verse, the apostle John, who was the revelator, he said, there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now this woman was a symbol of the New Testament church, the church that Jesus built. And she was clothed with the sun of righteousness. The sun is the brightest luminary in the literal heavens. Jesus Christ is the brightest luminary in the spiritual heavens. And He is the sun of righteousness. And the scriptures that I've just been referring to along here before this has to do with putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, being clothed with Him, put on the new man, and now John saw her, the New Testament church, clothed with the brightness, the glory, the purity, the holiness of the Son of Righteousness, dressed up with Him. The moon under her feet, a crown of 12 stars upon her head. A crown signifies a ruling monarch. One in a position reigning over something, ruling something. The 5th chapter of Romans, verse 17, he said, they that receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Now here is the church. Her husband, Jesus Christ, is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of the Kings of the Earth, the King of Saints, and the blessed and only potentate, blessed forevermore. And here is His church, His chosen bride, exalted to a position by His side as His queen, reigning by His side. Now God has provided a way of salvation and a degree of salvation, an experience of salvation that will enable you and me to live triumphantly and victoriously and to reign over everything and rule over it all. That's unlike God and contrary to the elements and principles of truth. into the kingdom of God. Amen.